This is Take Charge Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist, clinician assistant, and Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Listen, learn, and I hope you enjoy the show. Bye!
Welcome back, welcome back. I'm here with my co-host, the bioidentical hormone expert and pharmacist,
Carol Peterson. And thank you, Corinne, who is one of the most cutting-edge and practical practitioners I know.
Oh, thank you. So guess what? Today we're continuing our Back to Basics series, but we went a little to the side and we started looking at melatonin. And I must tell you, Carol, I've always known the benefits of melatonin. I always recommend it ever since I was at a lecture that Dr. Sydney Baker gave on circadian rhythm and the importance of it. I've kept that as a part of my practice and a part of my treatment protocol. But in doing and preparing for this show, I'm blown away at the importance of melatonin, how it works in the brain, how it works in the heart, how it works in mood, and I just don't know where to begin. So I'm going to pass it to you, and you can guide it, and then we'll go forward.
Okay, well, first of all, the pineal gland, which is located in our brain, is usually thought as the main source of melatonin, and it's responsible for that circadian rhythm. However, this is only about 5% of our total body's melatonin. Melatonin is produced in each and every one of our energy organelles, mitochondria, which we've talked about many times in this show, and we'll go into more. The pineal gland production of melatonin is circadian. Dr. Sydney Baker, as Corinne just brought him up, specialized in treating kids with autism. And one of their big problems were disturbed sleep patterns. They had lost that rhythm. As you go to bed, slowly and slowly, your melatonin rises and peaks in the early morning hours and then drops off. And this is what gives us that day and night rhythm that's so essential to our health. Melatonin has been used for that reason for jet lag. When you leave your time zones and your cycle is disturbed, you can artificially recreate it by taking some melatonin and reset your internal clock. When we use melatonin like this, we want a burst of melatonin. So we would be dosing melatonin just at bedtime, trying to get it to peak in the early morning and then drop off as our body would normally do. Corinne, do you use this often in your practice for helping people establish their sleep patterns?
Every day. Absolutely every day. And what we have is an understanding that it takes a newborn to the fourth or fifth month to develop this, what they call circadian rhythm or release of melatonin. And melatonin is in the highest amount in the body in youth. The amount of melatonin in the body potentially goes up as we get older, up until the mid-20s, and then starts dropping. But what we know about melatonin, it's not just a regular hormone. It's an antioxidant in the cells. It allows the cells, the mitochondria, the energy portion of the cells, to utilize oxygen. It's an anti-inflammatory, and we're going to be explaining that in more detail as we go along. And it's a very powerful mitochondrial protector. And that's the energy cell's protector. It's protecting the cells against the ravages that oxygen can do to the cell in our process of utilizing oxygen for survival. So mitochondria is the balancer of oxygen inside the cell. But let's think about this, Carol. Let's see, where are the most mitochondria in the body? It's in the heart. It's in the brain. It's in the retina. So melatonin is essential for cardiac protection, which we're going to explain. It's also essential to protect the eyes, and it's essential for brain protection. It's released from the pineal gland in the night, in the darkness, and it's released into circulation, and it circulates throughout the brain. But there's something very unique about melatonin as a hormone. It's water-soluble and fat-soluble. And what is the brain? 60% fat and 40% water. So it literally washes and cleanses and helps detox and reduce inflammation in the brain. So we wake up in the morning bright, alert, and this whole process of regeneration has happened. And that happens in darkness. But the melatonin that's created in the cells, in the mitochondria, in every cell in our body, is maintained in the mitochondria. You never see it, or it's never available in the bloodstream. It's being utilized directly in the cells to protect the cells. So although we think of melatonin for sleep, we're in for a big surprise today. There's a lot to learn about melatonin for our health, for as an antioxidant, as an anti-inflammatory, for headaches. It's very important for headaches. It's essential to block cancer metastasis. It's a neuroprotective. It helps memory. It also decreases LH, which is luteinizing hormone, which rises in prostate inflammation. It protects and reduces GERD at nighttime. It helps reduce anxiety. It reduces depression. It also helps reduce blood sugar. What do you think, Carol? You think it's pretty broad spectrum?
It's pretty amazing. I'd like to pop back to that pineal creation of melatonin. You already talked about how this decreases with age. It also decreases with drug use. There's been some drugs that interfere with your production of melatonin. Primary among them are the use of chemotherapy agents. But there is one big glaring thing. You sort of referred to it, but it's light. Light decreases the amount of melatonin. So if you leave your lights on at night, or if you're into the night working on your computer, looking at your cell phone, leaving the lights on, even just sitting there and reading, you are significantly impeding your ability to make melatonin. I'd like to point out that people have created apps for your computer and for your cell phone to try to diminish the amount of blue light, which is particularly bad, from emanating from your electronic devices. So you can install these apps and it'll tone down the blue light. Another thing people have been doing, and you may see people wearing orange-colored glasses. Corinne and I attended Dr. Schallenberger's conference, and Dr. Rice, Russell Ryder was one of the speakers. He came from San Antonio, and he has spent his life researching melatonin. And I asked him if those orange glasses did a good enough job to help protect your melatonin. He said they help to a certain extent, but even the light coming on the peripheral of the glasses will disturb your melatonin production. So he thinks you actually should have some goggles that are all orange.
So it's interesting because you were talking about blue light. And blue light, we know specifically, interferes with melatonin production. And where do we get blue light from? We get it from our, as Carol was saying, we get it from our computers. We get it from our cell phones. We get it from many of our digital devices. We also get it from LED lights. And what they're finding is that children that are being taught in rooms with LED lights are having more difficulty learning because it's changing the amount of gray matter in the brain. It's changing the ratios of fat and water-soluble matter in the brain. So the blue light is a very important piece here that interferes with melatonin production, and we will explain why that's so essential. Now, we don't see that in incandescent lights to this degree. Although we see it, it's not to the degree as a blue light. So the red light, depending on the spectrum, does not block melatonin in the degree that that blue light does. Carol?
So let's go into what melatonin does inside the cell. Some very interesting things. One of them is autophagy. Autophagy means eating oneself. Phagy means eating. Auto means myself. So in our normal processes, our body continuously breaks down and rebuilds. And the system of autophagy allows the body to break down some of the cell debris, broken down cells, and recycle the basic building blocks into new healthy cells. So this important process that melatonin is intimately involved in. Then there is the system called apoptosis. And apoptosis is your body's ability to identify abnormal cells and actually cause them to destruct. It's an important part in the development of cancer, for instance, is tied up with that loss of ability of your body to identify and break down abnormal cells. Melatonin is also intimately involved in all the mitochondrial physiology, which again is our energy production. So I'd like to go over, if Corinne, you're willing to go there, we have the heart as being one of the organs that are most populated with mitochondria in their cells. That makes sense because it's such an energy source for our body. How about we go over some of the things that melatonin does with heart function? Do you want to name a few and I can pop in with some as well?
Definitely. Now, how many of us think of melatonin and heart disease? How many of us think, oh my goodness, we're having, or our uncles or aunts are having cardiac problems, maybe I should recommend melatonin. But guess what? We're going to have to start rethinking this paradigm because many diseases of the cardiovascular system involve free radical damage directly. And what does melatonin do? It blocks free radical damage intracellularly. So melatonin protects against cardiac ischemic reperfusion or injury or it protects against heart attacks. It protects against, in the cardiac arteries, it converts plaque from the soft plaque that can be broken and become a clot. It converts it to the harder plaque. It increases perfusion of blood into the heart, and it reduces the infarct side by 40%. That's the damage side size by 40%. So we're looking at a multitude or multiple ways that melatonin protects the heart. It inhibits plaque formation. It reduces platelet aggregation, so it allows the blood to flow more easily. It maintains microvascular structure, so it's helping the capillaries through the heart with the blood flow. It prevents cardiomyocyte death, so the cells in the heart, it protects them from dying. It limits the inflammatory process that happens with any cardiac damage, and it lowers fibrosis in the heart.
There's a tie-in too with blood pressure. There was a study showing that as little as 2.5 milligrams of melatonin taking at bedtime significantly reduces blood pressure. So how many times have people been popped on blood pressure drugs and they're told they need it forever, when a simple fix like melatonin may have reset their circadian rhythm?
So Carol, I want to look at that statement that you just said about high blood pressure and melatonin. Let's look at it more deeply. We know that many, many people, I don't know percentages, don't sleep well. We also know that many, many people keep their cell phones by their bed, keep their computers by their bed. And what happens is that our bodies can't produce the melatonin that we need. And therefore, we wake up, we're tired, and what we're dealing with is elevated blood pressure. When melatonin is restored, or actually even brought up to a higher level, you have a complete change in circulation, you have reduced stress, you have increased, and we haven't even talked about this, your immune system, and you've also essentially lowered your blood pressure. So that statement that melatonin lowers blood pressure comes back to us, and many of us, to our sleeping habits. So this is Take Charge of Your Health, and I'm speaking with my co-host, Carol Peterson, bioidentical hormone expert. We'll get to more hormones in a little bit farther in this talk. And I'm Corinne Fernari, physician assistant clinical nutritionist. So Carol,
cutting edge clinical nutritionist.
Well, why, thank you.
Putting some of these ideas into practice, which is often a problem. There's so much good research out there, and it never gets into practical use. So that's where you are, right at the forefront.
That's what I try to do. I try to bring it back down to us and how we can make it work. So, Carol, where do you want to go next with this melatonin? There's so much, I don't know where to begin.
Let's talk about cancer a bit. And there's a huge increase in cancer, particularly breast cancer, with lights on at night. They just found a high correlation of that. So, of course, there's some melatonin involved in there. In fact, in vitro, where they had growing breast cancer cells in a petri dish, the more light, the more increase
yes,
in breast cancer cells.
The faster they grew.
And you've already mentioned how melatonin is helpful for cancer metastasis. That's the ability the cancer cells to move away from the primary focus of the cancer. It's been used in combination with chemotherapy, and less chemo is needed when melatonin is added. So it's one of the other things I'd like to mention that you just brought in, the immune system. We are struggling with, I'll call it the thing, tied up into viral activity. Here on in, let's call it the thing.
Oh, it's like one of those Japanese horror films, the thing.
Yeah, the monster.
That's totally out of our control, and we don't know where it came from, and we have no ability to control it, the thing.
The thing. However, there are several papers written about combining melatonin plus vitamin D. We've spoken many times on this show how fundamental our immune system needs adequate vitamin D. And the doctors out there that are having some success has vitamin D as a pillar of what they recommend to their patients. And now melatonin with that vitamin D has been shown to be absolutely wonderful in decreasing respiratory distress. Hello.
I've just heard a talk and with a doctor who's promoting or explaining vitamin D. And he said that sometimes vitamin D does not return the results that it promises. And then when you put melatonin with it, it seems to be the missing link that allows vitamin D to work to its potential in terms of immune support. So you have this beautiful synergistic effect of vitamin D and melatonin. Melatonin working in the cells and vitamin D also working in the cells, but also systemically in terms of the ability to support the immune system.
Actually, the light, which decreases the amount of melatonin you can make late at night, there's the International Academy for Cancer Research has named light as a group 2A carcinogen.
Wow.
Impact on melatonin. Dr. Russ Ryder actually said in some of his presentations, light is a drug. Isn't that interesting? But again, because of that interaction of our body's ability to make and use melatonin.
Well, it's interesting because we talked about melatonin and vitamin D. Both of those, vitamin D is a pre-hormone or a hormone. I've heard it's both. And melatonin, both of those are light sensitive. And vitamin D is created by UV light through the cholesterol in the skin. The cholesterol is then converted to vitamin D. Actually, it's a much more complicated process, but the ability to make vitamin D is based on cholesterol and UV light. The ability to make melatonin in the daytime in the mitochondria is also based on UV light. And it can come from the sun, but it also comes from just being outside. Hazy light will create enough stimulation to allow your body to make intracellular melatonin. And also what we find is in incandescent light or even fire pits, the light that comes off that kind of red glowy light is a low-level UV light, which allows the body, that's why we feel so calm when we're watching a fire pit and we're sitting around and we're talking about old stories and we're all relaxed. Part of that is the UV light and the increased production of melatonin in the body. But I wanted to go back. Let's go back to basics. I always do this. I always pull us back. I want to talk about melatonin because melatonin as a hormone is in every living thing on this earth. If it's alive, if it has been alive, it has melatonin. And plants produce melatonin also on two levels, but per size, they produce more melatonin for their body weight than even humans do. So when we're eating plants, we're supporting our ability to make melatonin.
Isn't that so interesting? So melatonin is actually been used in agriculture and has an effect on various infecting things. So the potato famine, Irish potato famine in 1845 to 1852, was due to a phytoflora infestans was the organism. And they found that the use of melatonin, either enriched in the soil or some other mechanism like in the water, prevents that kind of infestation.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So that's really kind of astounding. So it can be used to help plants grow more quickly. That's also been done so you get better yield for your crops. One of the things that has been theorized that in the soil that the melatonin can complex and deactivate some of the activity of heavy metals. And in doing so, that is part of a kind of a chelation or a wrapping around of heavy metals with the melatonin. But it also has its antioxidant effect there too, because heavy metals will produce a lot of free radicals. So melatonin shines in this area of metals, heavy metals in our soil, so we could actually improve the quality of our soil. Now, having said that, melatonin can also be used for heavy metal detoxification. Dr. Dietrich Klinghardt likes a liposomal melatonin. This is melatonin that's delivered with a phospholipid coating, so it gets into the cells quicker, particularly in the brain. And it's been shown to help bind up aluminum, cadmium, copper, iron, and even zinc. So you have to be careful not to overdo it. So there's many applications of melatonin. I find this heavy metal complexing, like I mentioned before, in the soil, both by decreasing the oxidation, the over-oxidation, but also binding of these heavy metals.
I just want to remind us that you're listening to Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Frenari, clinical nutritionist, physician assistant, and Carol Peterson, pharmacist and bioidentical hormone expert. So I want to, Carol, it's all so fast and furious because it's such an exciting topic. Melatonin, I thought, oh my goodness, we've got to look at melatonin. It's been mind-blowing what we have been remembering and working with and seeing the studies grow and grow and grow. I am working with, and my husband is working with a company from Spain, working with melatonin at very high doses, 200 and 300 milligrams, combined with CoQ10 intravenously to block bacteria, sepsis, to block viruses. And what they're seeing is they're having tremendous successes. This has been okayed in the EU, and they're in the process of attempting to get a FDA approval to use in this country. So what we're dealing with is that in many cases, we won't need antibiotics. And the wonderful part is that in years of being studied, There has never been found a toxic dose of melatonin.
That was illustrated by Dr. Russell Ryder, who said his daily dose is a teaspoonful of melatonin, but they have done extensive studies trying to find a toxic dose and absolutely does not occur.
Well, I want to talk about and go back to breast cancer because melatonin is so essential in breast cancer in that years ago, one of the first conferences I ever went to spoke about melatonin and CoQ10 blocking reoccurrence of breast cancer. Now, that was pretty surprising then, but now the studies have continued and enhanced, and what we're seeing is that melatonin blocks metastasis. And when we're dealing with metastasis, when we're dealing with a metastasized lesion, the metastasis is much more aggressive than even the original lesion. And so what they're seeing is that melatonin blocks metastasis, but they're also seeing that melatonin, there are breast cancers that are literally non-responsive to different treatments. And what they're seeing is that melatonin converts them. So they then become, these breast cancers become responsive to treatment, responsive to tamoxifen, which they were resistant to prior to the additional melatonin.
It's a lot of melatonin that has been used for breast cancer. I recall compounding melatonin in doses 200 milligrams several times a day for the use of breast cancer and metastasis prevention. So that's really interesting to me. There's also, you mentioned it earlier on, Corinne, neuroprotective benefits. And they found that people with Parkinson's and Alzheimer's are really demonstrating poor sleep habits, and they have very poor amounts of melatonin in their brain. And in the brain, again, because of this pro-oxidant effect, melatonin, because it's both fat and water-soluble, protects the lipids in the brain, the fats, and the proteins. And our neurotransmitter hormones are proteins. So these are protected against damage with some of the most dangerous free radicals in our body in the brain. So it diffuses into cells very easily and diffuses into the brain to help protect our delicate brain. So again, people with neurological disease, they can use melatonin to help protect and perhaps even restore some of their neurological functioning.
So the lucky part is that we can enhance melatonin in our bodies in multiple ways, not just one way, but multiple ways. And there's certain foods that assist this process, and not lots, but certain ones. One are mushrooms, and we all know how powerful mushrooms are to protect our immune system. Well, maybe part of that is the fact that by eating mushrooms, we can enhance our melatonin production. But also eggs, particularly the yellow of eggs, because melatonin also works with phosphocoenzyme A in working on its protection of our neurology, our neurons, our brain neurons, our body neurons. And so eggs are an important piece of this. Also fish, particularly fatty fish, can be beneficial in building up our melatonin. And also nuts. Nuts can be important and assist us in building up our own natural melatonin. And then don't forget, remember, light as a drug? Well, we can use that drug positively or negatively. And positively, if we go outside, even in the cold, we're going to get UV light, which stimulates the production of melatonin in our cells, in our mitochondria.
So melatonin's also, before we go too far away, has been used to help prevent damage from stroke. If you use a melatonin soon enough, after a stroke, the damage kind of slowly widens. And this is one of the things you can use to stop that progression of damage in the brain due to a stroke. So another thing, I want to go back to the use of IV melatonin and sepsis. We talked about one of the dangers of the thing, and there's more things than the thing that causes
the thing. We should have some music that goes when it, ba-ba-ba-bum, the thing. Go on.
One of the dangers is that your body goes into a cytokine storm, the cytokine being excessive inflammatory proteins, and this can lead to a sepsis. And sepsis is really the killer. It's one of the most common causes of death in hospitals. But using something like melatonin can mitigate the increase of death by giving us a tool to treat sepsis.
Well, there's a doctor in Argentina that has been working to assist his patients with the thing, with viruses. And he's been using melatonin and vitamin D together. And he feels very, and he's published this, and he feels very directly that, no, it is not all everything and everybody will respond. But by using those two together, what will end up happening is you'll have a reduction of people who go into a more aggressive phase of a viral infection, and you'll reduce the pressure on the medical healthcare system. So what could be better than this? Something that assists? You know, that's one thing that has not happened. And I feel that, well, how do I want to put it? How strong do I want to be? I feel that there has been tremendous neglect by our health care experts in allowing the rest of the world, literally, to come forward and assist in this epidemic. All over the world, they have blocked information on ability to deal with this disease. Just like melatonin and vitamin D, is that the answer for everyone? No, but it will assist almost, if not everyone. And maybe they won't end up in a hospital. Maybe they won't end up as sick. This is a very powerful statement. And, you know, it's that's what, oh, all these hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, well, it doesn't cure everybody. But what does? So we have to look at things differently. If a large or a percentage of people are blocked from progressing into a serious life-threatening disease, that's a very powerful treatment. Very powerful. And that's being put forth by a doctor in Argentina who's publishing. And why isn't that being shared with the public? So I think there's been a betrayal of our medical experts in relationship to the public.
Well, I think so too. That is a very strong statement, and I concur strongly. There are so many things. We've done various programs. If you look in our archives, We have shows archived at WBAI. We have shows archived at PRN.live. And we've got shows archived at my website, the Wellness by Design Project.com. You can go back to some of these, and we've covered many of the things that have been shown to be actually quite helpful. And there are doctors, including Corinne, who have treated people and helped prevent them from going into the hospital. The severity of the disease is much diminished, and the duration of the disease is diminished, and people recover.
Without the COVID long haul, without the COVID sequelae.
Right. That's another problem we've talked about. People are devastated when their bodies are left without resources to fight this. And some of them manage to do it, but then they have a long haul, and it's months, and now it's turning in some people for years. We're going into the second year of this. They have been unable to get back their normal vitality. This is a serious issue.
To and taste. I have patients for 2 years haven't been able to taste and smell.
I know. Oh, yeah. That's huge. So our bodies have the means to recover, but they need the building blocks. And that's part of the reason we've been doing some of these back to basics. So, Corinne, I think we should talk about guiding people a little bit in how to dose melatonin, when to take it, and the various kinds of supplements that you see advertised for sale or in the health food store. How do you guide your patients on how to use melatonin?
Well, I always ask people when they walk in the door, have you ever taken melatonin? Most people say yes. And I say, how did you feel? Most of them, the large majority, respond by saying, oh, I didn't feel anything. Some say, I didn't feel well on it. But that's few, but it exists. And others say, it just changed my life. And that's also the other end of the bell curve. Most say, I it did nothing. And what I tell them is melatonin does not put you to sleep. Melatonin prepares you to go to sleep. It's not like you're taking something, boom, and then immediately you go to sleep, like with drugs. That's not it. It prepares the body, gets the body into the rhythm to go to sleep. I remember studies in old age homes where they gave a half a milligram, which is close to nothing, of melatonin every day to geriatric patients in the home. And what they found is after 6 months, the majority of the residents ended up sleeping better at night and having better moods in the daytime. Now, at 0.5, it took a while for the body to readjust their circadian rhythm and be able to sleep. But it works. So some of those people that felt nothing at all probably didn't take it long enough. I tell people when I give it to them, don't expect anything. Just let it go and just keep on taking it because I told you so or asked you to do so. And then we're going to evaluate it maybe in a week, in a month, in 2 months, whatever. But continue to take it. Now, that's with just...
What's your recommended dose?
Well, that's with people just starting. So I go from a recommended dose, depending on the patient, from 1 to 5 milligrams with people without problems. People with problems that tell me that they really can't sleep, I start them at 10 milligrams and tell them, now many of those people are used to Ambien. And so what happens is it's very hard to reset them. So I just tell them to take it every day and not even think about it. And if you're really tired and you know you're going to go right to sleep, still take it. Because right. what it is doing, it's changing your brain timing to allow you to sleep. And then what you'll find is after time, you will lie down, put your head down, fall asleep, and then you will, without even taking melatonin, because your clock is adjusted. Now, if people are ill, one of the first times I ever heard of high-dose melatonin was with Parkinson's. I start them on 10, I bring them up to 20, I bring them up to 30, up to 40, up to 60, I bring them up to 100 milligrams every night, minimum. And I push it as hard as I can. And people, some of their tremors reduce, their focus is better, they start to sleep. We're talking, you know, very often with Alzheimer's, what we do is we see this syndrome called sundowners, where right about dawn, people kick into anxiety and fear and anger, and they're not controllable. That's got to do with their melatonin relationship. And by giving very low dose melatonin and to get them rebalanced, their brain and their body rebalanced, very often you can avoid that syndrome.
There are supplements available that say they are slow-release melatonin. What's your opinion about a slow-release administration of melatonin?
Now, I have two sides to that.
Okay.
Okay. Normally, with me, I want to fast release melatonin because melatonin surges up, and then it's almost like a cascade. And then it comes down, and as it's coming down, up comes DHEA. And as that is coming down, up comes testosterone, and then you wake up in the morning. So mm-hmm. it's a rhythm that moves through the brain. Okay, so generally, I like a fast-release melatonin. It's fat-soluble, water-soluble, so I really don't worry about absorption. But when I deal with someone like Parkinson's, also rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, any of the very severe progressive autoimmune disease, I like a slow-release melatonin because I want that melatonin calming and cleansing for longer periods of time. So it depends on the patient and what comes into my office.
Makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people should use some guidance with their practitioners. I saw that melatonin was used to develop a birth control method.
Oh.
And I looked back, I was remembering this, but the trials were happening in the 90s.
In Europe.
And so I guess it's not worked out that well. But because of a profound effect on the release of the directors of hormones, LH and FSH, their pulsatile release is actually blocked by high doses of melatonin. So they were trying to do that blocking the pulses of those hormones and prevent ovulation.
Without interfering with future ovulation, if you
right,
want to stop
right.
it. That's
yeah,
the good part.
It. Right. I guess it wasn't fail-safe, so I don't see it around. So
yeah. I remember those studies. We were all excited because we wanted melatonin to come to this country in that form, but it never really did. And that was years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, 90s.
Mm-hmm. So in conclusion,
we've discussed melatonin, both as being a circadian rhythm hormone produced by the pineal gland, which happens to be only 5% of the melatonin available to us. We discussed that melatonin is a fundamental hormone that appears in all living things, plants and animals. We discuss its neuroprotective effect, its strong, strong antioxidant effect. Some researchers believe it's the strongest antioxidant that we have. We've discussed its benefits in cancer therapies, both preventing metastasis and enhancing therapies, the avoidance of neurological damage in diseases like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. This is like one of the most pervasive and unappreciated, I think, hormones that there are. There's so much more to know about melatonin.
Yes, I think you said it perfectly. It's very unappreciated. And I think that as time goes on, we're going to see more and more and more. But we also discussed how to enhance melatonin through our lifestyle. And one way is by having complete darkness at night. Having blackout shades is a wonderful way to get a deeper level of sleep, and removing electronics from the bedroom. Seriously removing your electronics, particularly blue light, but all electronics with blackout shades. And you'll see that you'll sleep deeper. You'll feel more rested. And you'll wake up feeling better. I want to sneak in here at the end. I had a patient who couldn't get pregnant. And so she came to me, and I had her use blackout shades 25 days a month, just complete blackout. And I had her follow the moon cycle with a very good diet and a different balancing. But the end result is with the blackout shades, which I think were essential to the treatment, she became pregnant by using them, following the moon rhythm, allowing more light in as the moon became fuller and fuller, by blacking out and allowing melatonin to come up and surge in the darkness of the night. And what you're dealing with in melatonin is you're dealing with a master hormone, a master signaler of your total body hormones. That's very important. I don't think we brought this up in reproduction, in our ability to reproduce. Why do animals reproduce at only certain times of the year? Because of the way the moon cycles are, and because of the amount of melatonin or reduction of melatonin in the body at certain times of the year. I think that we, as you said, have very significantly underappreciated the effects of melatonin. We also didn't talk about how melatonin lowers blood sugar, and how eating sugar before bed, even if we go into a dark room, will block our body's ability to make melatonin. So we really don't want to eat sweet things right before bed. And when our melatonin is up, our blood sugar is brought down.
Well, we hope we've brought you some practical things. Corinne is just the master of creating protocols and outcomes for patients, using the literature, putting it to work. And I think that's quite phenomenal. This is another thing we try to do with our show, bring you practical things to put into your lives to help you be healthier. So go and have a nice turkey dinner, more than just Thanksgiving, to increase your melatonin.
Tryptophan converts to melatonin. Go on.
And the many other foods that we discuss, and the health practices that you can easily put into your life. at little or no cost. And this is what I love. Some of the most health-enhancing things really require no money, and they're available to everybody.
Just thoughtfulness. And yes. I know if you're listening to this show, you have thoughtfulness. So, Carol, I want to thank you so much. You always bring so much to the party, so much knowledge, so much information. Every time you're with me, I learn. So thank you.
Thank you. I learned too.
Thank you, audience, for being here. I really had fun this time, this week, and as always, and we'll be back next week. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. You can hear this program in its entirety on my Facebook, Corinne Fornari, RPA, CCN, or on Take Charge of Your Health Facebook page, Take Charge of Your Health. My website is fornarihealth.com, and my office number is 212-219-0700. That's 212-219-0700. And I know many of you noticed that beautiful music, a big change. My brother's group wrote it for me. Left Hook from Redding, California. Really special. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.